Do any of you have the spiritual gift of losing things? I lose things all the time, you know. Your keys, your wallet, your remote, whatever it is. True story. And I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but it's a true story. I couldn't find my phone. Couldn't find my phone anywhere. I checked the bathroom. I checked the kitchen. I checked in my car. I checked under the seat in my car. I checked everywhere. Couldn't find my phone anywhere. And I heard myself say out loud, "I can't find my phone anywhere," to the person on the other side of the call when I was on the phone looking for my phone. Anybody ever done that? Anybody at all? Use the light on your phone to look for your phone. You can't find your glasses and you're wearing them. Whatever. Okay? We laugh about that because we all misplace things. But sometimes what we lose isn't just a physical thing. Sometimes it's a much more personal, like maybe you've experienced an emotional loss. Maybe you've lost your peace in the middle of a very complicated world. Or maybe you've lost your purpose or sense of who you're supposed to be. It could be that you have a relational loss. You might have lost a friendship over something that wasn't really that important. Or maybe you lost trust in somebody that was close to you. It could have been a spiritual loss that at one point you were full of the joy of the Lord, but you've lost your joy, or you've lost your spiritual passion, or you've lost your intimacy with God. You don't feel close to Him anymore. What we're going to do today, looking at Elisha, is I'm going to show you a very unusual, kind of odd and quirky miracle that illustrates the very powerful and important principle from God, and that is this: our good God will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. Our God is a good and loving God who specializes in restoring what is lost. He's the God of restoration, and He will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. We're in the message series on Elisha, and we're finishing up today. So let's review a little bit about where we've been so we can move forward. Week number one, you remember Elijah called Elisha, and he burned the plows. He sacrificed the oxen to say, "I am burning the bridges. I'm burning the ships. There's no plan B. I'm going to follow God's call. No turning back." Week number two, we saw there were three armies that were out of water, and God spoke to Elisha and prophesied and said, "Go dig some ditches. Before there's water, dig some ditches." Sometimes God asks you to dig a ditch, and when they dug a ditch, God filled it with water. Last week, we looked at a widow who was about to lose her two sons. She didn't have enough. And God said, through the prophet Elisha, "Gather some jars." She gathered the jars and God filled them. As long as there was an empty jar, she was supplied what she needed and more. Today, we're going to see a miracle that seems just like almost pointless, kind of like a magic trick, like that's really cool, God, but why are you doing this? And for context, Elisha was training young prophets, almost like seminary students, to learn the ways of God. learn how to serve others. And they were living in this community, learning the things of God, and it must have been similar to today. Let me tell you why. In 29 years of ministry here, 33 total years of ministry, I have never seen a spiritual hunger like we're seeing right now on college campuses. We're seeing revivals break out. In post-Christian countries, we're seeing Bible sales go through the roof. We're seeing young adults come to faith in Jesus all over. We've got people coming back to church for the first time. There's a genuine spiritual hunger. People hurting, broken, longing for something more. And I promise you, it's unlike anything that I've seen in 33 years of ministry. I think there might have been something like this going on because there were so many young prophets coming to serve God that they ran out of room. Their numbers had grown so much that their housing was too small. And so they decided to build a new campus. They decided to add on. And so in 2 Kings 6, you can see they went down to the river to gather some trees, to cut the trees to add on to the housing. And in the middle of God's work, this unnamed prophet, we don't know who he is, but he loses a borrowed axe head. And so he panics. And Elisha comes and takes a stick and cuts it in half and throws the stick into the water where the axe head fell in, and guess what? The iron floated to the top. Cool. But why? Like, why would God get involved with something so small as an axe head that fell to the bottom of the water? I'm not sure, but I think it's possibly because it's not always the big battles that break us. But often it's the little losses along the way that pile up and pile up the things that we thought didn't matter until they did. And one day it's just too much. I'm going to show you the story that illustrates the principle God will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 4. We see when they arrived at the Jordan, these are all the young prophets, they began cutting down trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head flew into the river. And he said, "Oh, sir." Now, I want to pause for a moment and just acknowledge his godliness. He said, "Oh, sir," which I think is great because some of you would have said something else. But this was a young man of God who said, "Oh, sir," he cried, "it was a borrowed axe." And so Elisha, the man of God, asked, "Where did it fall?" Think about all the miracles God used Elisha to do. So many other big miracles. Where did it fall? The man of God asked. The text tells us this. When he showed the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. And then the axe head had floated to the surface. "Grab it," Elisha said. And the man reached out and grabbed it. God used the prophet to raise an axe head out of the water, and it floated. All the miracles. God used Elisha to part the Jordan River. God used Elisha to purify water in the Jericho. God used Elisha to heal a leper. God used Elisha to raise a dead boy back to life. With all the problems in the world, why would God use Elisha to make an axe head float? Well, we're going to discover the principle that sometimes the smallest miracle carries the biggest message. And I'll explain it to you. In the 9th century BC, when this was going on, iron was very, very rare and very, very expensive. Most people couldn't even come close to affording their own axe. So this young prophet very likely borrowed the axe from a very wealthy person, and he lost something incredibly valuable. Now, if you were with us last week, do you remember that if you lost something or owed money in this time, a creditor could come and take your children, and they would be slaves until this debt was paid off? So, like losing a valuable borrowed tool, this wasn't just embarrassing for the young prophet. This could be like a lifelong debt. This small detail, losing the axe head, it was a really, really big deal. And so, whenever God makes this axe head float, it reminds us of the powerful principle that it matters to you. It matters to God. If it's on your heart, our good God cares about the details of your life, which is mind-blowing to think about how amazing our God is, that the same God who rules over the nations and kings sees you and loves you more than you can imagine. And because God loves you, our good God cares about what you care about. The same God that cared enough to make an axe head float cares about your headaches. It just won't go away. The same God who made this axe head rise to the top cares about your anxiety that you can't even put words on how it makes you feel. The same God that cares about the details of this prophet cares about what matters to you, because what matters to you matters to Him. So what I want to do is ask you this question. What have you lost that God wants to restore? What is something special that means something to you, meant something to you, that you once had that you don't have right now? That something you've lost that God wants to restore. And I want to be just clear. I'm not talking about a permanent loss, like you lost a child, you lost a loved one. I want to acknowledge those are very real, heartbreaking losses. I'm not talking about that. That's a whole nother thing that we pray for healing in the presence of God. I'm talking about something that's still recoverable. You've lost something that God can still restore. You lost a relationship with somebody over politics, or some petty disagreement, or some rant on Facebook where you just told them what they needed to hear, and now you don't talk to them anymore. Felt right at the time, and now you're going, why did I do that? Maybe there are some of you that you lost your joy, and cynicism took its place. Some of you lost the respect of maybe one of your children. You did something that you can't undo. Some of you right now, you've lost peace of mind. You have no sense of God's presence. You've lost your hope for the future. Some of you, you are on fire for God, sensitive to the voice of the Spirit being led by faith and not by sight, seeking God in His Word, hearing His voice, making a difference in the world, serving in church. You've lost your spiritual passion. You've lost your hunger for God's word. You've lost your urgency to share your faith. You've lost your drive to live for holiness. Some of you, like, that's you right now. You lost your spiritual passion, or you lost your joy, or you lost trust in your spouse, or you lost something else. And I want to remind you that our God specializes in restoring what's lost. Our good God can help you find what you didn't mean to lose. You say, well, how does he do that? I'm going to show you two thoughts from our story about Elisha. And the first thought is this. If you lost something, number one, be honest about where you lost it. Where did you lose it? In verse 6, we see this. Elisha, the man of God, asked the young prophet, where did it fall? Where did you lose the axe head? Where did you last see it? Where did it fall? Why did he ask this question? Because recovery starts with honesty. Be honest about when you lost it, why you lost it, where you lost it. If you lost something that matters to you, when did you lose it? Why did you lose it? I'll give you just some thoughts to kind of help maybe open you up to what God might want to say to you. You might say this: I lost my way when I got into a relationship that I should have never gotten into. You developed a friendship with a group of people that, instead of sharpening you and drawing you closer to God, took you into things that were very, very destructive. Because the Bible's really, really clear that bad company corrupts good character. And maybe you lost your way when you entered into a relationship that you shouldn't have. Maybe you say, I lost my freedom when my secret habit took control of my life. That thing that you thought, hey, it's no one else's business. It's no big deal. I mean, it's not hurting anybody. And it wasn't hurting anybody until it hurt you. And now you're a prisoner to it. You might say, I lost my peace when I held on to a hurt instead of giving it to God. When I held a grudge, when I hated, when I let bitterness overcome my soul instead of releasing, forgiving, and trusting God to bring about judgment. I tried to make things right in my own way. You might say, I lost my joy when I let comparison take over. I started looking and scrolling and feeling left down and less than, and why am I not, and why do they? And all of a sudden, I just lost my joy, and I'm not seeking God because I'm dissatisfied with what I don't have and where I'm not and who they are and why I can't be what they are. You might say, I lost my intimacy with God when I stopped making space to hear his voice, when I stopped seeking him early and letting his word renew my mind and conform me to the image of Christ, when I stopped calling on him, when I stopped letting him direct my steps, when I stopped using the gifts that he had given me to make a difference in the lives of others. And thought that all of a sudden, life was all about me. And I stopped seeking him and serving him. Be honest about where you lost it, when you lost it, why you lost it. Recovery starts with honesty. Like, admit it, name it, confess it, be honest about where and why and how you lost it. Then, with God's help, take back what you lost. Take back what the devil took from you. Let God give it to you seven times over, because our God is a God of restoration. Be honest about where you lost it, why you lost it, how you lost it, and by faith, take back what you should have never lost. Verse 6, we see this. When the prophet showed Elisha the place, hey, there's where the axe head fell. Elisha cut a stick, threw it over there, and made the iron float. And then what did he say? He said to the prophet, hey, lift it out. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. I like this. God will make it float, but you got to lift it out. Because sometimes, when we studied this a few weeks ago, sometimes God wants you to participate in the miracles. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. Have faith. Jesus said, wash off your eyes, be healed. Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. Sometimes he wants you to participate. In other words, only God can send the rain, but sometimes he wants you to dig a ditch. Only God can multiply the oil, but sometimes he wants you to gather the empty jars. And only God can make an axe head float, but he still wants you to lift it out. And that's why I want to tell you, and I want you to hear it, and I want you to be ready for it. God will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. But be prepared, because the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And the moment you step out in faith, he steps in with fear. And he'll try to tell you, you're too late. You've been too bad. You've gone too far. You can never get it back. You can never be happy. You can never be on fire for God again. You can never make a difference. You can never share your life with somebody else. Not after what you've done. You'll never be blessed. After what you did, you'll never be close to God. And that's why I want to tell you, with God, it's not too late. Our God is a good God. The same God that oversees the nations and kings sees you and cares about you. And our God is the God of restoration. Scripture says this about God, and the God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The God of all grace, the God of all power, the God who is all present, the God who is, knows all things, will himself restore you and make you firm, strong, and steadfast. And that's why I want you to hear this. With God, you can still be the person that he called you to be. With God's grace, by his grace, you can still have and experience what God wants you to have and experience. You haven't gone too far. You haven't failed too much to get back what you didn't mean to lose. And this is why Elisha's story is so powerful. And this is one of the reasons why we spent 4 weeks talking about him. Because his story is more than just a string of miracles. It's an ongoing story of faith. It's a life of obedience and faith to trust in the power and the promises of God. An ordinary kid, a farmer, who puts his faith in the goodness of God and burns the plow to say, I'm burning my way back now. I'm fully all in and put his faith in a God that cared about what he cared about. The same way, if you put your faith in the goodness of God, our God cares about what you care about. And when you put your faith in God, he can help you find what you didn't mean to lose. And Elisha's story isn't just his story. This is the gospel. Why did Jesus come? To seek and save the lost. God sent his son on a rescue mission. God didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. He didn't come for those who were healthy. He came for the broken. He came for people like me, lost, lying, desperate, hurting people. Couldn't find my way out. He came for people like me. And Jesus said, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, the good shepherd leaves the 99 and pursues the one lost sheep. There may be somebody here, and I don't know who you are, but you are the one he's coming for today. You're not here by accident. He's drawing you. He loves you. And he'll leave the other 99 to come after the one because he cares about you. That's how good he is. And in the same way on the cross, Jesus, the Son of the living God, took our sins, took what was broken, took what was shameful, and died in our place. And through his resurrection, God lifted him up, lifted out. If the axe head floats, lifted it out. God lifted him up and out of the grave. Why? What the enemy tried to bury, God raised back to life. And so today, if you're hurting, if you're lost, let me ask you, because it's never too late. What did you lose? What did the enemy steal from you? What did you once have that you don't have that God can still restore? Because what's broken, God can rebuild. And what's lost, God can restore. And what's dead, our God can resurrect. The enemy may try to steal it, but our God can restore it. Because that's who our God is. A good God, a loving God, a caring God, the God who brings back what you thought was gone. The God will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. So lift it back up. Take back what you lost. Take back what the enemy stole. Because what matters to you matters to God.